the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. If you want multiple copies of this brochure, please call us and we'll give you a special discount. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom. Hi, Melody. How are we doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Well, tell me what happened to gold and silver today. I haven't seen a move like that in, 3 or 4 years.
Well, it's very interesting. And yesterday, we had a huge drop in the dollar, almost a full point. And gold was down about a dollar and a half to two. And I figured it would actually reverse itself, and it certainly did today. There were a couple of reports that came out about the confidence in Germany, and of course, because of their sharp decline in their industrial production. Also, because of the weaker dollar, and of course, India does have their seasonal demand for gold jewelry, so that also played into the area of the increase of the U.S. dollar. But you also saw the dollar down another almost a full point today. So in 2 days, it just really came and headed to the downside. So we certainly did hit a record high today. And so you had several reasons for those higher markets. And then you also had silver that followed gold, and that rose 28 cents today. And touched a new high of 2055. So, again, the whole precious metals, even platinum and palladium, had a very good day in the markets, and mainly with all these impacts from the economy in Europe, from the economy here, and, of course, the big demand in the Indian wedding season.
But I think, you know, gold was up, what, well over $20 an ounce, and you just don't see a major move like that. And, of course, they may come up with lots of excuses, but I think the whole world financial system is beginning to crumble. And, of course, the administration is doing everything they can to be sure that it happens, all the time presenting it, pretending that they're trying to solve the problem, and they're going to come up with another program, you know, to try to keep people in their homes. They've had something like 8 different programs, including those put in by George Bush, and none of them have worked. And people are still losing their homes. Probably 1 million people will lose their homes this year. And are we supposed to think they're just totally incompetent in Washington, D.C.? Or could it be, just could it be, that they're planning it this way? But, of course, you can't let the American people know that the real plan is to lower our living standards and impoverish our people. We can't let people know that they're planning on, the reason putting the smart meters in here in California, all across the country, is to raise the cost of electricity. That's what it's all about. It's to raise the cost of electricity, because if you use electricity in the middle day, well, it'll cost you a great deal more. And most of the people, or many of the people, are finding their electric bills are going up all over the country, and that's what it's all about. That's why they're tearing out dams across the country. Oh, they tell you, well, it's just the little fishies. No, they want to take away cheap, efficient hydroelectric power so they can raise the price of electricity. That way they can certainly get people to use less electricity, to get the corporations that are energy dependent to leave the country. When you understand that, So much of what goes on really begins to make sense when you see them intentionally blocking the building of power plants all across the country, coming up with new regulations that you can't have power plants that burn coal, and they're doing that in Texas. And what's going to happen in Texas? Well, they're just going to have to shut down the power plants. And after all, it's the law. The federal judges said that. So they'll have to start shutting down power plants and drive the cost up. You know, after all, that's the only way. If you don't have electricity, you got to get the price up so that the price will become the determining factor. And most people don't understand. It's part of a much bigger plan. Do you think they really understand, Melody?
No, I really don't. I think they're too busy trying to survive out there.
And I think a lot of people are going to have difficulty surviving.
Yes, absolutely. You talk about electricity. I know in this area here in central Pennsylvania, in many parts, other parts of Pennsylvania, they had caps on the power to where they couldn't raise the price. And all these caps are scheduled to come off. And it's interesting how all these caps and everything are all coming off at the same time. So you can't tell me that this is not planned, that they knew exactly or a rough idea of when everything would come to a head. And with those caps coming off, rates are going to double and triple. Power bills are going to double and triple. And here you have an economy where people aren't working. People don't have their homes. They're losing their homes. The equities in their homes have been just literally wiped out. Trillions and trillions of equity in these homes have been wiped out. So it's happening. And yet they continue to bring and tell everyone that everything is fine. I think it's gradually beginning to sink in to the people out there. And again, I don't believe they know it has been planned, but they're waking up because they're being impacted very deeply.
Well, if people would simply read Agenda 21, the Earth Charter, and the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, and I think we'll put those together in the syllabus here one of these days, and people can read the whole plan. They've laid it out. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know that the plan is to lower living standards and impoverish the American people. And when you understand that, then it begins to make sense. And, President Obama has said, oh, my goodness, now we're going to really help industry. We're going to let them write off any money they spend for development this next year. They can write off all those any money they spend for building new factories next year. But who's going to build new factories in the United States? I mean, what are we going to produce? We've already said our steel largely overseas, our automotive industry largely overseas, our textile industry largely overseas, our automotive industry largely overseas. We're doing everything we can here in California and other parts to destroy agriculture. Well, when you buy your apricots, when you buy your apples, look at that little tag. Where are they grown? Why New Zealand? They're both grown in Chile. They're trying to destroy the agriculture here. They're doing it intentionally here in California in the name of protecting a 3/4 inch or 3 inch smelt. They know what they're doing, but they have to say, well, that's the law, you know. Oh, the endangered species, 3 inch smelt. We'll let the water flow out in the ocean, and then we'll just shut down agriculture. And then we could, of course, bring our products in from other seas. Gilroy, which was once the garlic capital of the world, is no longer the garlic capital of the world. Now it's over in China as we transfer our production, our agriculture, our drug production. So much of our production is going overseas. Why would anybody want to take advantage of the tax advantages and open a new factory here? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we were just talking about how they intentionally transferred the steel industry, most of it to other countries, the automotive industry. China's producing more cars than we are today. The textile industry, the electronic industry, agriculture is being moved intentionally overseas. So many of our drugs, most of the vitamin C, if you are taking vitamin C today, it's probably produced in China, and they're producing all sorts of pharmaceuticals over there, and they can bring them in here into this country because there are no tariffs, and they can bring it in so much cheaper and undercut anything. Why would anybody want to open a factory in the United States when, of course, you can open a factory in other countries where the labor costs will be 10% of what they are here, and you don't have all the harassment from the local officials and the EPA and OSHA, and you don't have to pay Social Security tax and Medicare tax tax and unemployment tax, and now, of course, you get this latest thing in the health care bill, where anybody who has any company at all, and you, if you actually purchase anything worth more than $600, you have to fill out a 1099 form starting in the year 2013 and turn that into the government. So you're going to have to track everything you buy, and if it goes over $600, you're going to have to turn it into the government. Well, I mean, that was in the Obama health care bill. And all the Democrats said, well, we didn't know it was in the bill. Of course you didn't. Oh, why, of course, nobody read the bill. And Nancy Pelosi said, we'll pass the bill and then we'll find out what's in it. We'll pass the bill and then we'll find out what's in it. So now, of course, they had legislation just yesterday that was actually there, the House of Representatives, to repeal this. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi used some sort of a special trick, and they had to have a two-thirds majority, so a lot, and, of course, they couldn't get two-thirds. They had a vast majority wanted to repeal this, but not two-thirds. So now all the Democrats will say, see, we voted to do away with it, but, see, they just couldn't do it because Nancy Pelosi changed the rules. Now they're talking about, well, changing that, we'll raise it to $5,000. If you buy more than $5,000 worth of any product from a company, and you have over 25 employees, why, of course, you then you'll have to fill in the form. That's one of the suggestions. You'll have to file a 1099 if you buy more than $5,000 worth of goods. Now, the law right now is $600, but they're talking about changing it. But if you have 24 employees, are you going to add one more employee and then you come under this new restriction? All of these things are being done intentionally to discourage industry in this country. If you go to another country, you're not going to have to do that. And they're doing everything, I think, Melody, to discourage industrial production in America and drive the jobs out of this country. Obama just recently authorized $23 million to send to India to set up schools to teach the Indians there how to speak better English so we could outsource our jobs to India. So that when, of course, you get an Indian answering service, the people don't sound like they're in Calcutta, even though they are in Calcutta. And they may call themselves Tom, but their real name is Raj. Go right ahead, Melody.
You're absolutely correct. They are doing everything to discourage any type of business here in the States. And, I mean, I would certainly benefit on that. I don't have 25 employees and so forth, and basically my business would be exempt. And now you talk about a huge discrimination problem. It's not going to work. And, you know, the whole idea of any type of 1099 being issued for whether it be $600, $5,000 is absurd because, you know, they can't track this type of information. There's still going to be millions of forms being flooded into the IRS, and they can't keep track of anything as it is right now. So, I mean, it would be just a total mess. And then who's going to be responsible for the fees that might be occurred because someone didn't send in their form? So, I mean, they will have to repeal that. I can't imagine how they can continue. But, you know, they'll slice and dice it, and I'm sure they'll put something through because they need and they want to discourage the business. They need the money. They want to close all the gaps. And you know what? We've been importing more food than we have exported for several years. And you were talking about how the food, how everything is being grown outside this country because it's a lot cheaper to grow in other countries. And you know what? Has that cost have ever been passed on to us? No. Look at our food prices in our grocery stores. And so these companies are just making billions and billions of dollars by doing this. They're doing everything to shut down the farmer here in this country. And it's like, you know, I don't know, you've heard this for a long time, is where is the outrage? And it's just like everybody just goes on with their normal lives. They are finally waking up because they are losing their jobs. They can't go on their vacations that they did before. You know, they can't go out to dinner, you know, five times a week. They can't do a lot of things that they used to do. That's what's making them angry instead of the real thing, which is what is happening in Washington.
And they really find it so difficult to believe that the people in Washington, D.C. are really very successful. They're accomplishing exactly what they want to. And that is, of course, to create a situation that will lower living standards in America and raise living standards throughout the world. They're following the dictates of the Earth Charter, get it and read it and understand the powerful spiritual forces that are behind this whole movement to cripple the American economy. But how can we have equitable distribution of wealth between nations unless we lower our living standards here? And there's probably nobody in Washington, D.C., at least in Congress, that really understands what we're doing, but they're simply going along. The Democrats do what they're told by their leaders. The Republicans do what they're told by their leaders, because that's how they get the money to run for re-election. In fact, there's a new scam out there. And now, of course, major corporations can donate to foundations set up by congressmen. So this is a congressman in Southern California, and he set up a family foundation, and then certainly all Chevron and the big banks and the big pharmaceutical companies donate to his foundation, and then he takes that money and he gives it to the people in his electoral district so they'll re-elect him, and he can pass out free T-shirts with his name on it. He can set up basketball clinics under his name, and he's giving all this money to the people in his community so they'll re-elect him, so he can go back to Washington, so he can vote just like the people who are really buying him by giving money to his foundation. This is a means of purchasing votes. And where is the outcry? Over 20 congressmen have set up these foundations funded by the people who want to buy their votes, and that's exactly what's going on, and you're not even hearing about this. It's being totally ignored by the media. There was an article in the New York Times about it. It will be available if people want to read it and understand how the game is played. We have the finest legislators in Washington, D.C., that corporate money can buy. But understand, the corporations all tie into the Trilateral Commission. They are all part of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the people who own the American government today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd like to know what you think about what's going on. Give us a call if you have a question for Melody. Melody's on the front line of the gold and silver market. She's been at it for many years. Certainly with the what happened today, the skyrocketing price of gold today. What was it up? 24, 26 points, something like that?
At one point in time, it was, and we basically closed up about $23.
All right, well, $23 is nothing to scoff at. But
absolutely not.
Did you get a lot of calls today from people? You know, usually when you see the train pulling out of the station, everybody wants to jump on board.
Well, I was actually surprised today. It was a little on the quiet side. It started out fairly busy this morning, then it kind of got quiet, but a lot of the calls that I where people called for questions that I found in the past couple of days was actually they're waiting for a pullback. It's like, you know what, you cannot time this market. We certainly had a strong move in both gold and silver, but it's so difficult to time the day-to-day basis, the day-to-day prices. What you can do is if you have a significant amount to put into the market, you can always do a little bit of cost averaging. You know, because they're talking about, of course, 1,300 is going to be our resistant level. That's a big psychological level. And, you know, we could close back a little bit. But really, most of the charts and everything that I've had a chance to look at today show that gold really is on a trend and doesn't seem to have some very lows that it'll reach. So you can cost average, put half of what you're going. If you're looking to spend a large amount, you can put half in. Or you can put a quarter in. If it pulls back a little bit, that's great. You save a few dollars. And if it goes up a little bit, you can purchase, but your previous purchase will lower the overall cost. So do a little bit of cost averaging at this point in time.
Well, you know, it's really fascinating as you read the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. Those are the two newspapers I spend a lot of time with. And, of course, you know, you see all these articles about this. A company made some profits last year, and that company made some profits. And then buried, you know, in the back on page C7 in the New York Times, at the bottom of the page where nobody's going to see an article that says, latest Fed report finds signs growth is slowing. What they mean, and growth is not slowing, what it means, the economy is contracting, but they put these terms, growth slowing. Well, what growth slowing means is the economy is contracting, we're going into another recession, and with that, of course, you kind of come down the housing market. They mean housing prices have fallen dramatically. But you must understand that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have continued doing exactly what they were doing before. They're issuing subprime loans, and people can put down 5%. They can buy a house they can't afford. They can move into that house. If they lose their job, why, of course, who ends up with a house? Why you do, ladies and gentlemen, because, of course, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are now totally controlled by the government, and we are responsible for all of their losses. Losing several billion dollars a month, but when the next downturn comes, why, it'll be catastrophic losses. And they're doing exactly what they have before, trying to sell and bundle these mortgage-backed securities or collateralized debt obligations, CDOs or MBS. They love to use these terms intentionally to confuse you, but they know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They're in the process of destroying our economy. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Melody, certainly, you know, the economy is turning down, and people are going to have to recognize this. They keep saying, well, there's probably not going to be a double dip. Definitely, there's probably not going to be.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1 ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Zealand. Things seem to be perhaps better in New Zealand than many other places. Melody, do you have any thoughts about people perhaps moving to New Zealand?
Well, no, I don't. What I do know is a lot of these countries are very strict with people coming in. You know, most people have to have a fairly large amount of funds to live there. They need to bring in some sort of business. They have to provide for themselves. A lot of these countries are not quite like the U.S. where we just have open borders and anybody can come in. So a lot of these countries are difficult to get in. I know New Zealand used to have a very high limit. I know they have lowered it quite a bit because a lot of these countries were looking for people to move in for a while. So, you know, I agree with you, Dr. Stan. I we're being globalized. I don't think there's any other place in this world that, you know I can get around in here. I know my area. I know how to, you know, get around, and I know where I need to go if I have to here in a foreign country. I think I limit myself to that, and there's other things that you have to worry about. So I really do believe it's a personal decision one has to make, but I really don't think there's any place better. You know, there's, you know, a better place, you know, a better place to live.
Well, Don, if I were going to leave America, I would think very seriously about New Zealand. However, you can't stay there. You have to leave, I think, every 6 months for a short period of time before you come back again. But, Sydney, people are probably considering moving to New Zealand, some other places. But the battle for the survival of Christian civilization is here, and you're going to have to make that decision.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, God bless. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I'll just share a little story with you. Many years ago, I certainly was very concerned about what was happening in America, and so we bought some property on the Azores just shortly before the communists took over there. They've earned control for a couple of years. And we have ended up having somebody steal our property and lost everything we had invested. Then we moved to South Africa shortly before the communist takeover. And ladies and gentlemen, you do not know this because the media is controlled, but Nelson Mandela is a communist. The African National Council, a committee which controls South Africa and has provided all of the president there, is a communist organization. Sydney, if you've ever seen pictures of Nelson Mandela standing in front of the red communist flag with his hand raised and clenched, and of course when he was inaugurated, and it was a rigged election, they printed, the United States printed 80 million ballots for only 40 million voters, and they simply threw out the ballots for anybody else. And it was a totally rigged election. And then when he was indicted there, where Gaddafi from Libya was there, and Fidel Castro was there, and Hillary Clinton was there, and the leaders of the communist countries from all over the world were to celebrate the takeover of South Africa. Well, fortunately, we left and came back to America because the battle is here. And this is where we will be staying, we and our family. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but everybody is going to have to make their own decision as to what they want to do. And I think that, anyway, of course, as we look and see what's happening financially, well, we're beginning to move into the next part down here in California, why a number of our cities, Antioch, for instance, has been considering going bankrupt. Harrisburg, is that in Pennsylvania?
Yes, it is.
And they've been thinking about going bankrupt and just not being able to pay this, writing off their bonds. That was caused quite a stir, because the whole financial system is built upon trust. And when people say, we're just not going to pay it back because it's a phony system, why, of course, this creates some problems. What happened in Harrisburg?
Well, they faced a $68 million in debt payments on loans, and they're looking to default. They're looking to borrow in order to pay, and so they've gone to the Harrisburg Authority in order to pay their to pay their bills. And come March, they're going to have a decision to make. They're either going to have to sell some of the assets or file bankruptcy. And so their time is running out, and they had this payment due tomorrow, I believe it was. And so, you know, this will give them a little bit of breathing room for temporarily, but, you know, I can't imagine to see any other rescue in the future. So I do believe bankruptcy is on its way.
Here all in California, all across the state, school boards are borrowing money because they're not getting money from the state. They hope they're going to get paid from the state, but the state doesn't have any money. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we were just talking about here in California. Of course, California is really pivotal to everything going on in the country because California is the largest state, the most prosperous state. If we were an independent country, we'd be the eighth largest manufacturing country in the world. And basically here are school boards all up and down the state just don't have any money. They don't have any money to go ahead and pay their teachers because, of course, ordinarily they get a stipend from the state government, but because we don't have a budget, why the state can't pay them. So school boards are going out to borrow money so they can pay their teachers. What do they have as security? Well, their security is, of course, that down the line they hope to get payment from the state. But what happens if the state doesn't pay them? Then what begins to happen, and basically what you're seeing, is a gradual implosion of society. When people understand this is happening intentionally, they know what they're doing, they are not going to allow the recovery. Why? Because they want to lower our living standards and transfer our wealth to other nations. And when you know that, it all begins to make sense. Well, right now, of course, we've got Sandy calling. And Sandy, where are you calling from?
Yakima, Washington.
Okay, Sandy, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to ask Melody if she thought that the Canadian gold maple leaf was a good investment.
I like the Canadian maple leaf. It's a gold bullion coin. It's a 24-karat gold minted by the Canadian Mint. I think it's a personal preference. Many times when you're trying to decide between a Canadian maple leaf, maybe a gold eagle, an American gold eagle, or a Krugerrand, South African Krugerrand. The maple leaf is 24 carat. The American gold eagle is 22 carat. Some people prefer the 22 carat. I don't think it is an investment advantage in order to have that 22 carat unless you're looking to melt down the coin. So I like them. I sell lots of them. And I think it's a personal preference. I don't think you get a better advantage or any better upside potential one from a maple leaf versus a gold eagle.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Melody Cederstrom. Sandy's calling from Yakima, asking, is it about the Canadian gold eagle? And, of course, Melody says it's a matter of preference. Some people like one more than the other. They're all good investments. They're all good coins. And we lost Sandy from Yakima. But anyway, let's go to Dave calling from Illinois. But before we go to Dave, I'm going to simply let our listeners know that our telephone number, if you'd like to call, talk to Melody, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Melody, why don't you get your telephone number out, your website, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Our telephone number here at Discount Gold and Silver is 1-800 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And it's still the long website, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net is the website. We do radio programs. We archive them. There's also articles, and of course, if you're new to gold and silver, there's information on how you can begin, a little information about the company, and we always do encourage you to call us. But the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
When are you going to get a shorter website that's easier for people to
My goal is October 1st. I had a major computer crash, so I had to deal with that. And October 1st is my goal.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Dave, who's calling now from Illinois. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I find that, you know, when people have these great, they got a great thing, but nobody can remember them. I like something simple like Radio Liberty. Most people can remember that.
The website is actually, I mean, I have the name. It's going to be dgscoins.com.
BGS Coins. B is for what?
D as discount, oh. G for gold, S for silver, and then coins.
DGS coins. That's great. Okay. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I like that, Mel. That's easy to remember. I like that.
All right. Fine. I do, too. And then basically, you know, basically, you have this, why we always have to repeat our telephone numbers twice. People can't remember them. I know, because I can't remember them first time. They have to give it twice so I can get it written down properly. So, the same as with the website. Well, anyway, Dave, did you have a question or comment?
A question and a comment. First of all, from Melody. I want to buy some gold, but I'm unemployed. I have very little money. And there's no way I can pay hundreds. Forget about it. Now, what's the cheapest amount you can buy gold for, the cheapest? Because I simply don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't have a minimum here at Discount Gold and Silver. I mean, you could pick up a 1/10 of an ounce if you're looking for strictly gold. If you have a small amount to invest, you can also go into silver. So you can pick up either or. You can alternate if you're going to do it, you know, weekly or monthly or something like that. The key thing is to be disciplined and continue to do so, because it does accumulate, and you'd be surprised how fast it accumulates.
Like, I mean, would $10 buy anything? Or would it not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Actually, you could buy 90% junk silver.
Okay. My statement is, I'll work on that. My statement is, you know, I live in central Illinois, and a lot of people drive fancy cars, but the roads are all messed up. Roads are in terrible shape. And as we know, the factories are gone. And here's my statement, if the whole world to hear. you know, if we don't get manufacturing back, I think as a superpower, we are done. As an empire, the game is over. We've been on for over 200 years, and I think this country is about to run its cycle as a great nation, unless by some miracle the manufacturer comes back. Do you two agree with that?
Dave, the manufacturer isn't coming back because, I mean, we get the manufacturing back, you know, very, very quickly if we put our tariffs on, but the people who control our government, their loyalty is not to America. Their loyalty is this internationalist dream. And if you read David Rockefeller's book, you know, Memoirs, on page 405, he talks about, you know, some people think that we're subversive, we're working against the best interests in the United States, dedicated to bringing about this a more integrated global and political world order. And if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. But then he goes on to say something very significant. He said, you know, these populists, these people are so critical. I mean, they never comment about how much better things are in other countries throughout the world and how much better they are here in the United States. And if we hadn't intervened, how do you think that things could have improved in other countries and here in the United States? So he basically admits that they're the ones behind raising the living standards in other countries, and they have raised the living standards in China. And they have raised the living standards in Malaysia. And they have raised the living standards in India. They've done it intentionally. But going along with that is the plan laid out by David Rockefeller's nephew, Stephen Rockefeller, in the Earth Charter, to lower the living standards here. And the jobs are not coming back. I wish they would, Dave. But unless certainly the American people wake up, unless God intervenes, why they intend to lower the living standards and impoverish our people. And when you understand that, everything makes sense, and that's why you've got to get people to understand what's going on. This is all part of a plan. They know what they're doing, and who are they? They're the Trilateralists, and you can get their website, get their membership list off their website, or get it through us. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, I agree. Factories aren't coming back. Manufacturings aren't coming back. But if they do, I'll guarantee you that these factories will be given to the countries who own our debt. Does that mean, yeah, you might have a job, but you're not going to have benefits. You're not going to have pensions. You're not going to have, you'll have just as low wages as what the Chinese people have right now or any other third world country. So we might have manufacturing come back, but it won't be owned by U.S. countries. It'll be owned by the countries who own our debt at this point. Because just like Harrisburg, we have to sell our assets. They have to sell assets in order to pay their bills, in order to pay their debt.
And basically, of course, you know, we've sold almost 25% of our manufacturing right here in this country. Westinghouse, what could be more American than Westinghouse? Only trouble is Westinghouse is no longer an American corporation. It was bought up by foreigners, and so many of our food chains here, they're owned by foreign corporations. The Chinese have sent the delegations over here. They're looking around to find what businesses they can buy over here in this country. They're in the process of transferring not only our jobs overseas, but they're transferring our factories here to foreign ownership. Suddenly the old advice, I think it was Laertes, said to Polonius, or Polonius to Laertes, neither a buyer nor a lender be. America is the biggest debtor nation in the world, and they're giving away the future, your future and your children's future, and they're doing it intentionally because their loyalty is not to America but to this internationalist dream. Anything else you want to say, Melody?
Alan, you know, when you talk about Chinese, if they do begin any types of factories over here, just think about our mix of population. So, you know, it's not, and you're right, Dr., it's not American jobs. It's not for the American people. It's for the globalists.
Okay, Dave, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Yeah, a light bulb factory just closed or is going to Virginia. The last light bulb making incandescent bulbs is going out of the country. So, yeah, now I'll tell you something, you two. It is an absolute crime. It's high treason. High treason. They're destroying this country.
You're absolutely right. These people are subversive. These people are traitors to our country. And nobody wants to say it.
Amen.
God bless. Hey, thanks for calling, Dave. But your job is to get all those people out there. And right now we've got a Dean calling from Washington. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. What part of Washington are you from, Dean?
Spokane.
Okay, great. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I've got a comment. And I'd like to say that when I was in Las Vegas, I worked for a construction company, and one of the guys on a crew told me that, and I want to say this, that Mexicans built Summerlin. And for those who don't know, Summerlin is like the nice neighborhood in Clark County. And I said that, you know, if Mexicans can build Summerlin here in Las Vegas, why can't they build Summerlin in Mexico? And that's what I don't understand about the redistribution of wealth, where why does it have to be lower? Why doesn't it raise the living standard of everyone? Because every country has something to offer. Some, do you get it?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Melody, how would you respond to Gene's question? Because it's a very provocative station. You know, certainly the Mexican workers, many of them are hardworking. They're very talented. They're very capable. And, they'll certainly give you a good day's labor. This is why a lot of contractors would hire them under the table. You know, they want to work hard. A lot of Americans, they don't want to work hard. They want to, you know, you suddenly get off, you know, and all the special benefits. And they're looking for all they're going to get, but not for doing the hard work. The Mexicans work hard, and they know how to do these things. So why can't they do it in Mexico? Why are they doing it here?
Well, wages. I mean, the Mexicans in Mexico, they can't survive. They can't provide for their families. because it, the country doesn't have. I mean, the wealth in Mexico is owned by a very small percentage of the people. And it's basically the slave labor that we all talk about. They don't want people to better themselves. They don't want people. They're stripping the Americans. They're stripping our wealth from everybody. They don't want you to have any funds. They want you under their control. And it is all about control. And it is all about globalization, and it is all about equalizing countries so that they can perform one duty, one government, one religion, one currency. And that's the only way they can do it. They have to equalize everyone. So they'll bring the lower countries up to a little bit of a standard, and then like our country, they'll just, you know, lower ours to match theirs. They need an equal.
And that's really what it's really all about, Dean. It's about a plan to lower our living standards. Just before we go on, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You remember back, I think it was 1988, when Ross Perot was running for the presidency?
He
talked about the giant sucking sound. He said, that is American jobs leaving America. And he was absolutely right. He understood what was it all about, and that's why they were going to kill him. You remember Ross Perot dropped out of the presidential election there for a time? Then he came back in.
Something about his daughter.
Well, basically, it was because there was a contract out on his life. We interviewed the guy who had the contract. His name was Chip Tatum. And last thing we heard, at least the story was, that Chip Tatum's body, of course, washed up on a Caribbean island. Whether it's true, I don't know, but this was the story. I mean, he refused to kill Ross Perot for the people who gave him the contract. He was a professional killer. He was a professional assassin employed by the CIA. But Ross Perot was exactly right. And basically, we were told, when NAFTA passes, we're going to have all those people down in Mexico. It's going to be buying American jobs. It's going to produce 200,000 new jobs in America. Well, what it really produced was the loss of 500,000 jobs, as many of our major factories, the Westinghouse moved down there, moved their factories down there, automotive plants moved down to Mexico, and the whole idea was to raise their living standards a little bit, but to lower our living standards a great deal, because our living standards are so much higher than theirs. The people there are capable. But, of course, if we have a book, it's called No God Next Door. And it's how the establishment here in the United States actually brought this authoritarian society to Mexico. You've got more billionaires in Mexico than you have in all the rest of South America put together.
Right.
But right here in America, of course, what they have there is a feudal society where you have a few rich people, then you have a small middle class, and then you have a large impoverished class, and that's what they want for America. And the same people who brought that to Mexico. Now, almost 80 years later, 90 years later, okay, going to bring it to America. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know.
Okay, look, I can... I had a statement to make, and I can say that I respect those guys who go out there and jackhammer concrete in 117 degree weather. I work on those jackhammers. I worked on those air compressors. I sent them out with good equipment. But, you know, and the truth is that this. I had a statement to make, and this is it. And that is, hopefully, we have a lot of problems with immigration and this and that. Hopefully, people can learn and go back and go back to Mexico and make a change. I hope that they can, you know, go back and fight for freedom in their own country, make their own country good enough, because it is, it's incredible wealth and beauty, and all they need to do is, you know, not have a two-tiered society where you're either, full-on criminal or you're the ruling elite.
Okay, well, I wish it were going to happen, but wishes don't make things come to pass. What we need to do is, of course, expose this cabal that runs not only America, but runs Mexico, and they're all in bed together. God bless. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Doug is calling from Spokane. Doug calling from Spokane. Do you have a question for our guest?
Good evening. Actually, I have a couple of comments. One is, I watch Silver and Gold daily, and we got information, of course, within the last 48 hours that J.P. Morgan was going to stop manipulating the metal market. And now, of course, gold and silver are heading up. And my question or comment would be, isn't there something illegal about manipulating a market like that? And do you think maybe Obama is going to go ahead and prosecute somebody for something like that?
Well, Melody, what are your thoughts? Is there anything illegal with manipulating the commodity market? And you think that President Obama is going to go after J.P. Morgan and Chase and the other companies that are violating our laws?
It is illegal. And if they were honest people, they wouldn't be doing it. But it is illegal. But all they're going to do is, you know, maybe slap a couple million-dollar fine on them. Nobody will admit to any guilt or anything, just like they do with all of these guys. They all pay a couple $1 million, and it just all gets brushed underneath the table, and everybody forgets about it until the next one comes along.
Doug, Sydney, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, all of the major banks are tied into the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. You can get the membership list, the Brotherhood of Darkness, from us, or you can track it down on the Internet on your own. You can get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission from the Trilateral Commission at trilateral.org. And they will tell you, of course, Goldman Sachs is the head of Goldman Sachs is there, head of Citigroup is there, Jimmy Diamond, J.P. Morgan Chase. I mean, they're all in on the scam. No, Obama is not going to do anything, because if he did, they'd take him for a trip to Dallas. We'll be right back.
It was a rhetorical question.
Okay, do you have anything else you wanted to ask there, Dave, before we let you go?
Actually, Dr. Stan, I'm real tired of getting chemtrails.
Okay.
I have aches and pains, and it just irks the heck out of me.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Telephone number, your website out one more time.
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Thank you,
we'll
Dr.
talk to you
Ken.
Later. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Melody Cederstrom. Hope you enjoyed our program. This is the time when I have to remind you my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, I know most of the ministries are having problems, and we are too. Well, we're trying to hang in there. We don't want to lose any of our over 60 outlets. We have over 60 outlets every week all across America. And quite frankly, we need your help to be able to continue doing what we're doing and educating people about the true spiritual forces which are behind these evil and wicked people. And you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read our newsletters. They're up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. You need to encourage people to listen to our programs. You could listen there on the Internet 9 hours a day. We post 4 hours a day live on the Internet, and there's another hour at AmericanNewsNet.com. That's AmericanNewsNet.com, and that's at 7 o'clock Pacific time every morning. But, of course, we try to have varied programs, but the whole purpose is to educate people and have them understand that we are seeing the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies. There certainly were secret societies. They've been around for thousands of years. They tie into the mystery religions. There was tremendous knowledge there. This was responsible, of course, for the magnificent buildings, the seven wonders of the world, the temples at Karnak and Luxor on the Nile, if you've ever seen them. And you wonder, how were they ever able to build those? Why, they tapped into the secret knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. And there really is secret supernatural knowledge out there. But, of course, so much of what we have today. Certainly, Thomas Edison, who really brought us electricity as we know it today, he was deeply involved in theosophy, Luciferianism. He used to go into trances, and so much of what we have today is a byproduct of what he actually was able to conjure up, as it were. Understand that there are powerful spiritual forces out there, and there are people who tap into them, and you do not want to do that. You need to understand what's going on, but you need to understand that none of us are going to get through what lies ahead unless we have a personal relationship with the Lord. And if you don't have a personal relationship, well, I hope you want to get some of the things Pastor Billy Crone has put out. We have actually 3 of his tape sets, and all of them end with a personal invitation to have a personal relationship with our Lord. We carry his 10 DVD set, part 1, part 2, on the final countdown. His excellent Fearful Creation. Then when did the dinosaurs die out? Ladies and gentlemen, you will be amazed at what you hear and what you see with your own eyes that has been totally suppressed from the American people. And then, of course, Pastor Crone's 3rd DVD set on RFID identification. But we certainly encourage you to get these. We want to remind you that we are having an all-day conference. It's going to be on the 17th of October. And if you don't have your reservation yet, why, give us a call. We all will be serving lunch. We need to know how many people are coming. We're getting a good response. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You've only got, I think, today and tomorrow to make your reservations for the hotel, motel at a special reduced price. But we're bringing in some great guests, and I'm going to give you a talk on the dark secret. And it's an entirely new talk, and we'll give you what I've learned over the last 48 years. And so you'll be able to understand and then to communicate with others with a basic understanding of what's really going on today and the plan to destroy our economy. If you haven't seen the pamphlets we have, certainly, on what's going on economically, they're available. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment with another fascinating program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Ramsey, who is writing a book and collecting information on one of my favorite villains. His name was Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley was certainly known as the wickedest man in the world. He was a 33rd degree Mason for a number of years before he was invited to join the satanic levels of the World Masonic Movement. Most Masons have no idea it even exists, but Crowley, of course, was a Satanist. And, well, William, how did you get interested in studying Crowley, and what did you learn about him?
Well, that's a good question. I was very interested in the events of 9/11. I was very much into researching. I read almost everything I could, watched all the movies I could, and while I was doing that, I kept noticing these numbers kept popping up that seemed to have some significance. I realized that they were not just popping up in the events of 9/11, but also in the common culture, and those numbers were 11, 77, and 93. I really didn't know much about the occult. And so I started reading as much as I could, and the numbers led me back to Aleister Crowley. So really the book, Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11 and the New World Order, is basically a research paper with 500 footnotes that attempts to prove, at least I argue, that Aleister Crowley had an impact and an influence upon the events of 9/11 and the New World Order.
Well, he'd been dead for many years, but of course, it obviously was satanic. We know that suddenly it was on September 11th, year 1990. Why, of course, that was, I think, when George Bush gave his speech on the New World Order and the 1,000 points of light, talked about those sort of things, at least talked about the New World Order, just exactly 11 years before. For the September 11th attack. So basically, of course, is the book actually out yet? And is it in hardback,
yes,
or is it
something? Yes, sir. It is. I have a softbound edition that you can purchase from my website. It's www.occult911.com. It's also available on Kindle. And I can send a PDF copy if you're interested, and that also can be purchased on my website.
All right, fine. But basically, why don't you give our listeners a background of who Crowley was, why he is significant, and why the movement he led is playing such an important role today, because Crowley's been dead for a number of years.
Correct, and that's an excellent question. Basically, Crowley was born in 1875. He was born in England. He passed away in 1947. He lived 72 years. He was born of a very wealthy family. His grandfather started some company called Crowley Ales, which is sold all over England. So he was the child of privilege. He was able to have the best tutors, the best private schools. And he was also brought up in a fundamentalist Christian sect called the Plymouth. It's actually called the Exclusive Brethren, which was a subgroup of the Plymouth Brethren. And he rebelled against that. And basically he headed off to Cambridge, and that's where he started his occult career.
Well, now, why would he have started an occult career at Cambridge? What was there about Cambridge that would lead him away from Christianity into the dark side?
Well, that's a good question. He was exposed to many other ideas when he left college. It was kind of like getting away from the parental influence, and that's where he also came in contact with a group called the Golden Dawn, and that was where he learned much of his magical practices.
All right, fine. Now, of course, what is the Golden Dawn? Most people have never heard. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, the Golden Dawn was a magical organization in the late 19th century.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, fine. You were talking about the Golden Dawn, magical society, and it existed. And, of course, eventually, of course, Crowley came to be one of the leaders of this. But what did he learn? What was the fascination about the Golden Dawn? Why would an intelligent individual coming from a life of privilege be attractive to an occult organization?
Well, that's a good question. I think that he became interested in this concept that there were secret, there was a secret group of initiates that held hidden ideas, and I think he had a romantic idea that that was the way he was going to go. But he also always had to seem to have a draw to the dark side, even before the Golden Dawn. But the Golden Dawn was a repository of all of the occult knowledge up to that time in the late 19th century. It included information regarding the tarot, the Kabbalah. There were old grimoires that were being dredged up out of the old libraries in Paris and London. Crowley had his hands on. It also included Rosicrucian ideas, and most of the members were what would be called back then irregular Masons. They were all people who had advanced all the way up to the top of Masonry and started this additional occult order of which Crowley became part of.
Well, how long was he a 33rd degree Mason before he was invited to go into the upper echelons of the craft?
That's a good question. He was a Mason when he traveled to Mexico in 1900 at the age of 25 is when he became inducted into the 33rd degree. And then he also, by John Yarker, who is one of the chief Masons of England, was inducted into the higher rites called the Rites of Memphis and Mizraim, which are the 90 and 95th degree. Crowley was a Mason for certain, and he tried to rewrite a lot of Masonic lore, and the rituals, but the Masons really wouldn't have it. Crowley was of the opinion that you should join every occult group you could, and Crowley did. And so he was not just a Mason, he was also a member of the Golden Dawn, the OTO, his own magical organization called the AA, and there's some apocryphal information that he was also a member of Witch Coven. So he was a very broad-ranging occultist.
He was quite a joiner then, what you're saying.
Yeah, and but, he recommended that to all of his followers as well, is that they should follow in his same footsteps, and people like Robert Anton Wilson, who was one of his followers, did likewise.
All right, fine, and so then Crowley becomes basically involved, deeply involved in the occult, and Chris, would you say that the occult involved worship of Lucifer or Satan?
Absolutely. I mean, Crowley... he used something back then in the 19th century that were called blinds. He used terminology that would confuse Christian people to think that he might...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, it's William Ramsey, and William has written a book on Aleister Crowley, and he's studied him extensively. And Crowley, of course, was a Mason. He was a 33rd degree Mason. He joined the Golden Dawn. He formed his own occult organization. But, of course, this is all involved a worship of Lucifer and tapping into the supernatural power that is there. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me caution you. Do not, Sydney, They don't try to understand this. Do not. You need to know it's there. I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Cuddy, today, and he was just saying he has a lot of these occult books, but he never reads them. He mines them to get information out. But, of course, he doesn't want that material in his mind, and you don't want that material in your mind either. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a supernatural realm. You can tap into that realm. It will bring you great fame and fortune for a time, but at a tremendous cost in eternity. So pick up the story anyway, because Aleister Crowley is involved with these Luciferian groups. And what happens then? This is, of course, the early 1900s.
Correct. And so he was definitely involved in the Luciferian groups. He himself said, "I was not content to believe in a personal devil and serve him in the ordinary sense of the word. I wanted to get a hold of him personally and become his chief of staff." So he really saw himself as kind of an elite figure within the occult groups. And because of his wealth, his inheritance was estimated around $20 million in today's dollars. Because of his wealth, he never really had to work. So he was very dedicated to his evil cause and spent all his time reading and writing. He thought of himself as a literateur or a reader and writer. He left thousands of documents of all different types, poetry, plays, written works, and also magical grimoires, and he dedicated his life to the service of the devil, and he left a wake of destruction and madness in his life. Most of the people that were associated with him either went insane or committed suicide or were subjected to the most vicious degradation imaginable. So he was a very evil person, and he basically used the Golden Dawn as a springboard into his own organizations, the AA and the OTO. And he spent a lot of time trying to communicate with evil spirits. And like you said, it's a very dangerous thing to do. Please don't do it in any regards. Evil spirits are not. They always lie. And so Crowley was in contact with these evil spirits. One of the primary ones was called Awas, and one of the most important moments of his occult career took place in 1904 in Cairo, Egypt, where he received the foundational book of his occult practice, which was called the Book of the Law, and he received it from a demon by the name of Awas, and that is the basic book that is used by all Crowleyites to this day.
And it was that channel to him. He didn't receive it. He wrote it under the spell of this demonic spirit?
Correct, yes. That would probably be more accurate. He was told to sit down at a desk for an hour on three consecutive days, and he wrote this document down, and it was written to him in three separate parts, and each part was a representative of the Egyptian pantheon. So there was Hadit, Nuit, and Horus. And Horus is, like, you see the Eye of Horus that's frequently around. That Horus was supposed to be the new god of the age, according to Crowley, that was supposed to overcome the old god of Osiris, which is a representation in Crowley's mind of Jesus Christ. So he saw himself as and his ideology and his religion as a usurpation of Christianity.
Well, now, of course, there were lots of stories about Crowley and human sacrifices, and he was even quoted as saying that the most wonderful, most powerful human sacrifices was that of an infant or a child. What is there any truth to that? I'm understanding that he was actually forced to leave Italy, and the place he had there, the monastery where he worked for some time. But, you know, he had to leave there because, of course, there were investigations of the child sacrifices.
That's correct. There were rumors. I could never find evidence of him, but he was forced out of Italy by Benito Mussolini. He was forced to flee to Tunis, and that was where he had his Abbey of Thelema. Thelema is the Greek word for will. And so as far as human baby sacrifice in his readings, there are a couple books that refer to human sacrifice. When he codified his own religion, he took a lot of his writings and gave them a book number. Liber is the Latin word for book. So book 66 is a recitation of the use of child sacrifice. It's a very scary, very disgusting book, but it definitely details the use of that. And also another book by the name of The World's Tragedy, which is a very lesser known writing of Crowley's that none of his followers will ever admit to that he wrote it. But
what was the title of the book and what's in the book?
The first book is a book 66 or Liber 66. It's part of his writing. The other one is called The World's Tragedy, which starts out with this character who is supposed to be Crowley, and it details. It starts in Arcady, which is one of the states of the state within the country of Greece, where the god Pan lives, who is a representation of the devil. And it starts off with a sacrifice at a temple before a statue of Pan. And it's a very disgusting book. I don't recommend people open that book casually by any state of the, please. It's a very dangerous, very disturbing and blasphemous book. Probably one of the most blasphemous books I've ever read. It's called The World's Tragedy.
The story is, of course, that Crowley, then, of course, somewhere along the line, he moved to Loch Ness, where the Loch Ness Monster is. I've always felt that the Loch Ness Monster might be a demonic manifestation of some sort, and I've wondered if that could be why, of course, Aleister Crowley moved there. Why did he go to Loch Ness? Why did he buy a home there? And, of course, I don't suppose that there are a lot of people there in the area of Loch Ness who really enjoyed having a man who called himself the Beast 666 living close at hand.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. He bought a place called Bulliskin Manor. It was on Loch Ness in the very northern part of Scotland. And, as you said, it's the same place where the Loch Ness Monster was. His purpose for buying that property was so that he could carry out a magical ritual that he had learned from the Golden Dawn, and that magical ritual was based on a book called The Book of Sacred Magic of Abra Melin the Mage, and that required 6 months to enact and complete a magical working where you can evoke the four great princes of evil in the world. And so he started that working, or what they call it a working when you do this long-term magical process. But he started it in Easter of 1900. And during the time that he was doing this, he said that the demons connected with Abra Melin cannot wait to be invoked. They come on thought. It caused the workmen employed to renovate the house to attack Crowley, and he had to be forcibly restrained in the cellar. His housekeeper, Crowley's housekeeper, went on a 3-day drinking binge and tried to kill his wife and children. And he said that there were shapes and demons marching through the house up there, and basically all the locals began avoiding the Bulliskin house from then on.
Well, I imagine you would. And then, of course, now, my understanding is that Crowley had some financial problems as he grew older. I mean, he had obviously had a great inheritance, but what happened to his funding? And my understanding is that he really ended up rather poor and destitute. What's the truth?
That is the truth. He really had money, but he had no concept on how to use it. He could have wisely put his money aside and lived on investments, but instead he spent it. He was very impecunious, and by the time he was about 45 or 47, he was destitute and relied upon the monies of his followers. He was basically a parasite upon most of his followers. He was always greedy for money for the last 30 years of his life, and he refused to work. He had this prideful self-importance and refused to actually take a steady job, maybe doing some writing or trying to raise money through books, but that is correct. He basically was poor and desperate for many years.
Well, now, what happened to his estate there on Loch Ness? My understanding is that somebody else deeply involved in the occult bought that from him.
That's correct. It did. He actually deeded it to the OTO, his magical organization that became part of. They sold it off without his assent, and later on it fell into the hands of Jimmy Page, another OTO member, and one of the guitar player for the rock band Led Zeppelin, who owned it for 2 decades, and then I think he sold it.
All right, and so basically, of course, Crowley was certainly known as he called himself the evilest man in the world. Was he well known for that? Certainly, what was the response of the people to him?
No, that's a good question. He did call himself the Great Beast. He identified with all of the kind of evil people within the Bible. His consorts, he named the Scarlet Women, and he thought of himself as the right-hand man of Satan, so he was very wicked. He involved himself in all types of occult organizations. When he was kicked out of Cefalù, which was the place in Italy he was forcibly removed from by Benito Mussolini in 1924, there was a series of articles, which I have in my book, that detail all of his practices there at his Abbey of Thelema, and they do call him the wickedest man of the world and the man we'd like to hang. So I think he took some kind of perverse pleasure in actually being that most wicked man.
And, of course, basically, why Alfred Kinsey, the sexologist from the University, I think, of Indiana, was actually a great admirer of Crowley's. In fact, if we have a book there, of course, where Kinsey is there at Thelema, this place in Italy, it's a strange picture because it shows a man, the shadow of a man hanging there. And, of course, Kinsey standing before a small picture of Crowley on the wall. And apparently Crowley was in contact with Kinsey. Kinsey wanted to get Crowley's papers. Do you know anything at all about that?
Absolutely. Alfred Kinsey traveled to Cefalù with another follower of Crowley by the name of Kenneth Anger, who's still alive today. But he was interested in Crowley's pornographic writing that Crowley wrote under pseudonyms. And Alfred Kinsey was one of the most bogus scientists about the issue of sex out there. He was a very strange person, but definitely a Crowley acolyte or interested in
Crowley. And basically one of the most influential scientists in America. A total fraud, but he first helped to destroy the morality of our nation. Well, go right ahead, William, because Sidney, you've accumulated.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Number. And those are all the numbers of the planes that crashed on September 11th, 2001. Is that simply coincidence? Basically, of course, if you've read the book, we carry it. It's called Apollyon Rising 2012, Apollyon Rising 2012 by Tom Horn. He simply points out that if you take a $20 bill and you fold it just right, why, of course, you can actually see the Twin Towers burning. If you take a $10 bill and you fold it just right, you can actually see the Twin Towers. They're intact. If you take the, the $50 bill and you fold it the same way, why, of course, you see the New York skyline, but the Twin Towers are gone. How could that possibly have happened simply by accident? You can go find this on the Internet, and they'll show you how to do it. They'll show you the pictures that you'll actually see. Is this a coincidence? Is it simply a coincidence that the numbers of the airliners that crashed into the Twin Towers and that crashed into the Pentagon and in Sanctuary were the numbers that Aleister Crowley idealized? What are your thoughts on that? Is this coincidence? Is this something more than just coincidence, William? Because certainly it's hard to explain the folding of the $20 bill, the numbers of the buildings, simply just by happenstance.
No, I don't think they're coincidence. I've thought about it many times, and I've looked over and kind of reanalyzed my positions, but I can't get away from the importance of these numbers, 11, 77, 93, and 175. 11 even goes back to the Golden Dawn. One of the founders of the Golden Dawn was a man by the name of William Wynne Westcott. He wrote a book called Numbers, Their Occult Power and Mystic Virtue, and he said about 11, 11 is the essence of all that is sinful, harmful, and imperfect. It symbolizes destruction, violence, defeat, and death. So you have this this kind of occultic numerological tie to the events of 9/11.
Is that the Westcott of Westcott and Hort?
I think he had some other occult career. I honestly don't know that much about William Westcott, but I've heard rumors about him.
Well, basically, there was Westcott, who was a Cambridge scholar who actually worked with a fellow named Hort, and they wrote, of course, a dictionary, the Greek to English dictionary that's used by ministers all across America, and I just wondered if this was the same Westcott, because, of course, he was involved in the occult, and yet there's not one in 1,000 ministers in America today who understand that the dictionary they used to interpret the Bible was written by a man involved in the occult. Whether it was the same person or not, I don't know.
Well, I know that Wynne Mr. Westcott had been involved in other things. I think he had been involved in biblical rewriting the Bible. So
that is the same Westcott, because he wanted to use the Alexandrian text rather than the traditional text, the Textus Receptus, which had been, of course, Alexandrian text was the basis of the some of the new versions of the Bible, new interpretations of it.
I'll have to research that more.
That's really fascinating. You have time to research. Obviously, you're an excellent researcher, and I hope you can look into that. Because anyway, certainly was there a direct relationship between Westcott and Crowley, or was this simply some of the numbers were similar?
Well, I think that Westcott was one of the founders. There were three main founders of the Golden Dawn, so Crowley was probably very familiar with them. The three founders were Westcott, William Woodman, and then Samuel Liddell Mathers. Crowley was very knowledgeable about Mathers, but I didn't find a lot about Mr. Westcott. So I think he passed away kind of later in the night.
What was his first name, do you recall?
William Wynne Westcott.
William Westcott. Go right ahead.
Okay, and then as far as just kind of going back to the number 93, those are the Kabbalic representations of the two main prime kind of words in Crowley's religion, which are Thelema and Agape. Thelema means will. And that was his Abbey of Thelema that was in Cheflu, this kind of place where he did a lot of his rituals. And then agape means love in the Greek. and that also equals the 93. And also the chief spirit that he received, his book of the law, Awaf, in Hebrew, in the under the Kabbalic to Gematria, equals 93. So 93 is very important. And then you see the numbers 93 turn up in the events of 9/11 as the plane 93 or flight 93. So I argue that these are there not by chance but by intent as a signal to followers of the occult. And then the last number is 175, which is in Crowley's system. He categorized all of his books into numerical, like I talked about earlier, Libra 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, Libra 175 is a religious or ritual, ceremonial, magical system used to invoke any deity by adoration. So it's an invocational process. So I think that 175 was there as a kind of invoking the dark side or representation. I'm not a practitioner of the occult, so I don't understand, but it seems to have a lot of meaning within Crowley's system.
Well, I'm glad you're not. I mean, that basically, it's interesting to know about, but we need to avoid it like the plague. We'll be right back in just a moment here. This is Dr. Stan back here, and Sydney, I'm very interested to note that I did look up William Owen Westcott, and he was involved in the occult. He's the man who, along with Hort, had such an impact on the modern versions of the Bible. And most people have no idea about this. Most of our ministers really don't understand the occult, so that they really are not prepared, of course, to understand that many of the modern versions of the Bible had deep occult foundations.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Well, Cecilia, I'm learning from you, but hopefully we can we can learn together about some of these things.
That's great. Yeah, thanks.
Well, now, what are some of the other things that you've learned about Crowley? Certainly, my understanding is that the women who came into his life, many of them, of course, committed suicide, and certainly all sorts of horrible things.
Yeah, very horrible. He was an extremely nasty person. He punched one of his consorts in the face so hard that he broke the bones around her skull and her eye socket. She had to be in the care of a doctor for a month. One of them drank herself to madness. Another ended up in a mental institution for 30 years looking for demons under her bed. Another went home and committed suicide. Crowley, if he deemed you his scarlet woman, this is pretty nasty, but he would actually take a brand and brand their chest like they were cows with a mark called the Mark of the Beast, which was a conjunction of the moon and the sun, and I have a picture of it in my book. One of his consorts was by the name of Lila Waddell, and I have a picture of her with this brand on her chest. So he's a very evil, very nasty figure, and the people in his life, they usually ended up in ruin and destruction. He abandoned one of his scarlet women in France to a sordid life of street prostitution. A lot of his followers did commit suicide and or, you know, were lost in drug addiction, much like Crowley, who was a off-and-on lifelong heroin addict.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Ramsey telling about Aleister Crowley, a lifelong heroin addict off and on. Certainly the fate of many of the people, his followers, the women he was involved with, they all had horrible lives. He destroyed. He was simply a man who was a walking destructive mechanism, a totally evil individual. But he had many followers, and this is the amazing thing. Well, my telephone number, if it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, Way Too Far Living, and we're talking about Aleister Crowley, a man who called himself 666, the Beast. If you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, probably. There's nobody right now I've met who knows as much about Aleister Crowley as William Ramsey. William, would you like to tell people how they get to your website or they can get your book if you'd like?
Sure. My book is available on Kindle. It will be available on iPad or the Apple platform probably in the next couple of weeks. And my website's www.occult911.com. And you can buy a PDF version, or I can send you a soft-bound copy.
All right, fine. Send me it. Now, basically, what sort of response are you getting from this book as you put this out? I mean, are many people really interested in Aleister Crowley today?
I think so. I think that people are curious about the real event of 9/11, and they're trying to figure out all of its details. I would say that my book adds a different layer of understanding. I think that 9/11 was a cause for a lot of evil in the world, wars and taking away a lot of our rights. And so if people see that it has a evil spiritual connection, I think that's very important. So it has, you know, some people have, you know, chuckled about some of my connections and my arguments, but other people do see the numerical signatories that are involved in the event, and I think understand it that there are these people who are followers of Crowley who seem to be having a great influence upon the 20th century. In my book, I actually was going to write about some of these people, but I took them out just in the interest of space and time. But there were so many followers of Crowley who, or people who were influenced by Crowley who influenced the 20th century, that it's worth another book. People like Charles Manson, Jack Parsons, Kenneth Grant, L. Ron Hubbard, Timothy Leary, Robert Anton Wilson, Alfred Kinsey, who we talked about, David Bowie, Ozzy Osbourne, Jimmy Page. There are film directors such as Oliver Stone, Stanley Kubrick, who both have references to Crowley. Ian Fleming, who is the writer of the James Bond series, was familiar with Crowley. So was Eric Blair, or George Orwell, actually was good friends with a serious follower of Crowley in his early life, so he was aware of it, and he actually has a few references to 93 in the introductory pages of 1984, which kind of adds an occult connection to that book that a lot of people oversee, as I certainly did. And then there's J.K. Rowling, who changed her middle name to the letter K. It's not actually a name, it's just the letter K, and K is the 11th letter of the English alphabet, so you see this correlation with the 11. And J.K. Rowling knows a lot about the occult. Her books, I mean, I haven't read them, but, you know, she has references to people like Flood and Are You Serious, which are also very, you know, occultish references. And, you know, these are books that are read by millions and movies that are seen by billions. So
this, what she's referring to, of course, is the author of Harry Potter. And
right.
This woman became a billionaire because of her writings. And yet, of course, they introduced literally millions of children to the occult. That's what it was all about. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Scott, who's calling us from New York. Are you calling from upstate New York, Scott?
Hey, Dr. Stan, I'm calling from Amsterdam, New York, in upstate, yep.
Okay, very good. You have a question or comment?
I have a comment and a question. My comment is I urge all your listeners to listen to you and your guest, William, because this is definitely something you don't want to tap into. And the question that I have for William, I'm sure you're aware that you mentioned earlier that Jimmy Page had purchased the castle, and I'm just wondering if you would be in agreement with this, that I've read in several articles that that's where the song Stairway to Heaven was written, and that Robert Plant, the singer from Led Zeppelin, claims that he never actually wrote it, that he just put his hand on the paper, and magically the lyrics to that song came about, and I wondered if you had a comment on that.
Well, I've actually read that for my next book. I've been doing some research, and I've heard that story, that he somewhat scribed it, or something spoke through him, the lyrics of that song. So, yes. And Jimmy Page is very much deep into the occult. He owned a bookstore called The Equinox in London. That was an occult bookstore. That's also the name of Crowley's encyclopedic repository of all his writings. It's called the Equinox. Jimmy Page also signs his letters, at least I have copies of them, 93, which is shorthand version of Crowley's dictum, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, and love under law, love under will is how you're supposed to respond. So Page knows a lot about Crowley. I actually have a picture of Jimmy Page. It'll be in my next book, holding the Stella from the Bulak Museum that was the kind of introductory event that occurred between Crowley and the reception of his top book, The Book of the Law, in Cairo, Egypt. So Jimmy Page is very knowledgeable, and Led Zeppelin are very knowledgeable about Crowley. On the third album of Led Zeppelin, on the inner cover of the album, of the actual cassette or disc itself, it says, do what thou wilt. So this is a direct reference to Crowley.
And, you know, really, it is interesting, Scott. I have a friend. He started out as a rock musician and a guitar, and he wrote the words for some songs were very popular at one time. And, of course, he suddenly was being channeled what he was getting. And a lot of the words, as he would come up with, he didn't even understand their meaning. And he'd go to the dictionary, and sure enough, he'd find out that they fit in perfectly into the song he was writing. And then he noticed as time went by that his songs were getting, the lyrics were getting darker and more demonic, and suddenly he realized that he was demonically possessed. He went home and destroyed all of his rock and roll records, and he went off to become a minister. His name is Joe Schimmel, and he put together the wonderful DVDs we have called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Going into Ozzy Osbourne and so many of the other people in the music industry who were really, of course, great admirers of Aleister Crowley. Anything else you wanted to say, Scott?
I was just going to comment on that, Dr. Stan, and I've heard him before. A few years ago you had him on, and
right.
It really opened my eyes to how it can really draw you in, because the guitar and the keyboards and the drums and the music sounds great, and you catch yourself singing the lyrics, and then you sit back and you go back and you read the lyrics, and you go, wow, there's a deep, deep hidden meaning to what a lot of these bands are writing. And that doesn't come about by chance, I don't believe.
I don't think there's
any. Totally brilliant, and it's a great show, and you never cease to amaze me, Dr. Stan. You have great guests, and you're very diverse in your subjects.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling. Get those people back there in upstate New York. Listen. Bye-bye.
I'm doing the best I can. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, let's go to Kurt, who's calling from Pacific Grove. Hi, Kurt. How are you doing?
Fine. I just had the computer on, so I did a search. It was Bishop Brook Foss Westcott. So it's a different Westcott. They were 23 years apart in age.
Well, now, wait a minute. But I thought that they were talking about William Wynn Westcott. Now, who is this other Westcott?
The Brook Foss Westcott was the Westcott of Westcott and Hort. And your guest was mentioning a Westcott. It's evidently a different Westcott.
Well, would you do something for me? Would you go ahead and on your website, just write in William Wynn Westcott and then occult and see what you come up with, okay?
I got William Wynn Westcott was a Freemason, ceremonial magician. He was born in 1848, whereas the other Westcott was born in 1825 or 23.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much.
And then one other comment is that Ian Fleming worked for MI6 during World War II. And, you know, he modeled 007 after Dusko Popov, the British agent tricycle. But my understanding was his only relationship to Crowley was that they both worked for MI6. Could your guest enlarge on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Crowley was an agent for the British Secret Service for most of his life. He was an asset. I wouldn't say he was a member, but he was always channeling information. He worked for them in the United States of World War I to help England get the United States into World War I. Interestingly, Crowley came to the United States on the Lusitania, which was the boat that was sunk basically was the lever to draw the United States into war. And there's a long story behind that. But Crowley also was sending information in the 30s. He was kicked out of France in 1927. Crowley was kicked out of France in 1927, and the charge was spying. So Crowley associated with a lot of the people in the Masons and German Freemasonry who were also spies of the German state. So he was constantly sending money back there, information back to headquarters back in London. But he also they were interested in getting Crowley involved in World War II because Hitler was a fanatic of the occult, and there were contacts between him and MI6, very high-level contacts with people that are, you know, one guy, I can't recall his name, but he was one of the heads of MI6 who had spoke with Crowley about astrology and how to engage in what would then be called psychological operation against the Germans.
Well, I think really what's so interesting is there seems to be a very strong tie-in between the intelligence agencies and the occult. And so you can go all the way back to John Dee, during the Elizabethan era, and he was working for British intelligence at the time, and of course he was deeply involved in the occult. And we seem to find this recurrent theme of working within government, but working specifically in the intelligence agencies. So many of the people here in the United States who went into the CIA came from Skull and Bones, people like William Buckley, the great leader of the conservative movement, and McGeorge Bundy and his brother. And certainly so many of the people in the intelligence agencies are involved in the occult. We know that the special forces had a division, a unit was actually delving into the occult. In fact, there's a book called The Men Who Stare at Goats, and George Clooney made a movie out of it. It wasn't very good. It followed the book very closely. But there is no question these people were tapping into the supernatural for supernatural power. And because my only experience with this was this special forces unit was headed by a Major General Stubblebine, and actually I saw a spoon that he'd taken, and he'd actually able to twist the handle into a complete circle, and there is no way that could have been done humanly. But they actually recruited Uri Geller to teach the people from in the special forces unit all about that. Go ahead, Kurt. Anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah. Two other quick questions. There is one, Edward Mandel House. What was his connection to the occult? And does your guest know of some good books on Hitler and the occult?
Yeah, I would say Edward Mandel House. I've heard rumors that he was an occultist, but I really don't know his attachment to it. And as far as good books on Hitler and the occult, I would recommend anything by Gerald Suster, who was a follower of Crowley and an associate of one of Crowley's followers by the name of Israel Regardi. Gerald Suster wrote a book called Hitler and Horus. Horus is the kind of representation of Satan, who is the new god of the age. And another one by Hitler, which is very hard to, I mean, about Hitler, which is very hard to come by. It's called Hitler Black Magician.
And there's another one called Spear of Destiny, going into the background of Hitler. If you want to get into the background of Colonel House and the occult, the book is The Spirits of Politics by Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson. And there you'll find out that House, who I always knew had mystical powers and was able to control people's minds, but he was actually a disciple of Nicholas Roark, who was one of the leading occultists of that time. He was, of course, the occultist who controlled Henry Wallace, the vice president, who went on to become vice president of the United States. And he probably would have become president of the United States if he hadn't written a letter to Roark titled Headed Dear Guru. And when that information got out, why, of course, FDR dumped him or he would have been vice president. He would have become president instead of Harry Truman. But that's the background there. Anything else?
Wow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, fine, thanks. That's Kurt calling. Let's call to a Bud who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Bud. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got it. Can you, your guest tell me if there was any connection between Aleister Crowley and Helena Blavatsky or Alice Bailey and, you know, that whole chain of New Age?
Definitely. He definitely was influenced. Crowley was very well read, and he was very aware of what was happening in the world and the occult world in general. He considered a lot of other occultists not as associates but as rivals. So he was definitely interested in what was going on. A lot of his followers or people he associated had formerly gone through theosophy. He also tried to forestall the coming of the Maitreya called the World Teacher, a person by the name of Jiddu Krishnamurti, who was put forward in the 20s as the Maitreya, the Messiah. Crowley tried to forestall that by putting out and sending out information to anybody who would listen that he himself was the world teacher and that this other person was an imposter. So there's a connection there. That I think the person who was trying to forward Jiddu Krishnamurti was a person by the name of, I think it was either Alice Bailey or Annie Besant. But
I think Annie was probably more involved at the time. Basically, the Aleister Crowley was the generation after Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. She died in the early 1890s, and of course, Crowley didn't really come into his own until what, the late 1990s or the early 2000s?
Yeah, probably early, probably after the turn of the century is really when he started to make his impact.
So basically, he was the next generation after Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, but they all worship the same god.
Indeed. There's no doubt about it. They're both Satanists, and Crowley used in some of his later teachings one of her books, which is called The Vision and the Voice. So there is a connection between the both. He understood all of her writings, and he was a voracious reader, so he had digested almost everything that Theosophists had come up with.
Anything else you want to ask, Bud?
No, that's okay. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much. And we've got Jack on the line. We'll be back to Jack in just a moment or two. But of course, our guest this evening has been William Ramsey. William, would you want to put out your website once again so people will know how they can get your book?
Sure. It's www.occult911.com, and it's also available on Kindle. The title, again, is Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley 9/11, and the New World Order.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand what this is about. Now, you do not want to get involved with the other dimension. You don't want to tap into the supernatural power. But what you do need to understand is that so many of our leaders have tapped into this other natural power. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton first went to the White House? She brought in a woman named Jean Houston to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahandas Gandhi. Nancy Reagan was deeply involved with astrology, as was Ronald. They don't tell you that, but there's a book called What Did Joan Say? By Joan Quigley, who is Nancy's astrologer. And whenever Nancy came back from visiting Joan, Ronald would say, What did Joan say? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest tonight?
Yes, I do.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Material that you can get from, that will begin to introduce you to this other side. But understand it's there. And, of course, I hope this will want you to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that's going to see any of us through the very difficult times that lie ahead. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are difficult times. We carry a book by Corrie Ten Boom. It's called The Hiding Place. I don't know if you remember the story, but Corrie and her family had actually hidden Jews in their home during the German occupation, and it ended up with she and her family being sent to a German concentration camp. But it's the most amazing story, and I think it's the sort of thing that you need to read to understand what's going on. We carry books by Erwin Lutzer. We carry his book on Hitler's Cross, and his book When a Nation Forgets God. Now, Erwin Lutzer is certainly my favorite pastor. We listen to him every Sunday morning. Erwin Lutzer, Hitler's Cross, and When a Nation Forgets God. Because both of these point out what's happening spiritually here in the United States, where so few people are willing to speak out, just like it was in Hitler's Germany. And our job, of course, is to be on the front lines of this battle, to try to get people to understand. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the DVD on the Trilateral Commission. And we carry literally hundreds of books and other information. An excellent DVD is, of course, the Surveillance Society, put out by our good friend Dr. Catherine Albrecht. That's the Surveillance Society, a DVD. You need to get the book on satanic crimes and the four CD set that goes with that. You need to get our four CD or four tape set on the supernatural and the book that goes with that entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Michelson. And then, of course, we suggest the Diary of a Devil Hunter. It was written by a young man who used to go all over the country lecturing to police forces, about the human sacrifices going on in America. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, human sacrifices. And yet, of course, then the FBI would send out their agent to say, oh, there's no such thing, it's all imaginary, there is no Satanism. But then for many years, up until actually the 1960s, J. Edgar Hoover said there was no mafia. There was no mafia in America. And the reason, of course, was because he was a homosexual, and they had pictures of him, and his homosexual friend, Clyde Tyson, Tolson. So, of course, he had to cover for the mafia, which he did so effectively. And then, of course, he would go after the communists who were being financed by the great tax-exempt foundations. And if you want to get in the background of that, why, the book is Foundations, Their Power and Influence. The book's been suppressed for many years. We've kept it in print. Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Must reading for anyone who wants to understand what's going on in the world today. So our telephone number, again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we want to remind you we're having an all-day conference. It's going to be on the, certainly on the 17th of October. That's going to be, and we're going to be bringing speakers in from all over the country, and it's going to be a great day. We're serving lunch. We hope you can go. So if you'd like to go, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we hope that you'll be able to make it. You've only got another day or so, though, to get the special rate at the hotels. I think the cutoff date will be tomorrow. So if you're going to come and you want to get the special rate at the hotel, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's going to be a great time. Hope you can make it. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, because we're involved in a spiritual battle. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if we don't have a great revival, I think we're going to lose America. But please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 14 September 2010. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about what it is that we can do to separate us from them. That's right. You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about how it is that we got into the place that we are in. How did we move into such a position of dependency? Well, every day we are learning about making ourselves less dependent on the system and more dependent upon ourselves. That's right. A whole new thought system for people in this country. I know it's unique for Power Hour listeners. Many times we kind of think of, well, we'll just do the best that we can in the system that we're in. And then along comes the idea of we really need to have our own system. A lot of people are looking at having their own banks, their own bartering system, their own buying system. Well, a couple of emails that I'm going to cover with you today will help you see that. We have to make a change. And why is it that we're in this mess in the first place? Think about where we were 30, 40 years ago and where we are today. How did this happen? I think it was because we wanted the easy way out. Isn't that always the way it is? Perhaps some people wanted greed, some people wanted it easy, some people wanted it just given to them. And I'm not talking about entitlements. I'm talking about just the idea that we wanted someone else to grow our food. We wanted somebody else to save the seeds. We wanted someone else to take care of our health care. We didn't want to have to learn about herbs and spices and the natural way that God gave us to take care of ourselves. So all of these things now are compounded to a point where we're finally seeing it. And it's right in our face. We can't move away from it. We have to make a decision to move toward it, being more dependency upon the system, or away from it. Now, I am just as much involved in this as you are. I don't live in an urban area, which would probably compound the issues. But we have to begin to make a plan. We have to begin to start looking at how we're going to do something independent, such as going out and talking to our local farmer and saying, can you sell me a half a beef? Can you sell me some of your produce every year if you don't have the opportunity to grow it yourself? And I would add, it's time to begin to grow the produce also. A lot of issues that are now almost to the point of being overwhelming, we need to start undoing one at a time. And yes, it's going to take some work on your part. You're going to have to stand up with people like Doreen Hannes yesterday, who was on the program talking about S-510. the control of the food supply, start saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that system because I see where that system is going. Now, some of us, it took us a little bit longer